All right, folks, it's that time again for Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your host, Mark, the Landing Crew Wheeler. And it's a preemptive strike. I apologize for last week, folks. That was very unexpected. There were some issues with my computer. And if for y'all that don't know, we do everything from the comfort of our own homes. So if we have issues with our electronic devices or internet connections, it kind of messes with everything else. So I do apologize for that. And yet again, we are back to another pump day. And that is Wednesday. This is 8 o'clock, and this is Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic with your host, Mark Landing Crew Wheeler. And of course, folks, you could always call in during the live shows. And that number is 714-816-4727. Skype to Skype is free. So, all right. On the line, we have Mr. Greg Hammerhead Crisp out of New Hampshire. What's going on, Greg?
Not much. Getting ready to go fishing this weekend, and that's about it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I actually got out on Sunday and did a little bit of fishing, finally. It was very nice. Very nice to get away. Oh, man, it felt just like a Southwest commercial, man. I'm sitting there for you know how long and finally want to get away. You couldn't catch me, man.
So. Yep.
All right, so considering that maybe everyone heard maybe from the podcast, probably about me going, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me from last week? We'll just pick up on what we were doing, what I was planning on doing for last week, and that is handling the fish you're going to keep from catching the fish, getting in your kayak, to storing it, to getting it home, and cooking it. And people go, well, that makes, you know, who cares about that? Well, I have a lot of people ask me that are just starting off or have been doing it for a while, how do you keep your fish fresh? You know, you don't have a cooler big enough. You don't have a lot of things that, you know, your bigger boats have. Any boat. With more space, so let's think about this. 90% of us have tank wells behind us, right, and or storage spaces inside the kayak. For you sit inside people, this does not really pertain to you. Unfortunately, I hate to say it, I am not a sink guy. I don't know sinks. Probably never will. They scare me. But that's just me. I'm a sit-on-top kind of guy. I like to sit a lot. Stand up, things like that, and I can't do that in a sink. Sorry, guys. For all you sink hardcore anglers, please don't be offended. It's just my opinion. If you have a way of fishing in a sink and keeping your fish fresh, in a cooler bag, things I'm talking about today, please call in. Let me know. Or call in a later show and say, hey, I listened to the show about you keeping fish. You know, this is how I do it, because I'd love to know. So a lot of sink people ask me the same thing. And, of course, folks, to call in, that's 714-816-4727. And remember, folks, Skype to Skype is free. Plus, during our live shows, you can chat with us if you can't call in. But, yeah, let's let's break it down to what you can do. And I'm going to start off with Greg. How do you store your fish? Do you have a cooler, one of those cool bags, or do you hang it off the side of your boat with a stringer? Give me, let me know how you do it.
Well, two of the above. Having the Malibu X Factor, I do have a cooler and a tank well that can, support easily a 40-quart cooler on the back. So if I'm going out after fish that I plan on keeping, several of, like flounder or something, and it's a warm day, I'll load it up with ice and, keep the fish in there. Most of the time, however, I am keeping the fish in the on a stringer. And
right.
Then, when I'm going to do a long-distance paddle somewhere, I'll put them up in the tank well. And that's most of the time when I do that, that would be if I plan on keeping, one bass, one good 30-inch or so striper when I'm night fishing, or a couple bluefish or something like that.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So those are my preferred methods. I have looked into those cooler bags and just haven't really I don't keep enough fish often enough that I think it really justifies it at this point.
Right, and that's another thing you need to look at too. If you're a freshwater bass fisherman and you don't keep any bass, but you might keep a catfish, a stringer would be perfect. You know what I mean? If you're a hardcore heavy-duty flounder fisherman and you live in Florida where the size limit is 12 inches, a cooler would be beautiful. If you're in the Virginia area, we've got a four flounder limit at 17 and a half inches for y'all up north. A cooler or a stringer would be fine. If you're going out and let's say going after, I'm trying to think of a species that you could put in those bags. I think
striper.
They're cool. Yeah, but to be truthfully honest with you, for me at least, and I know some other guys, when we go out for the big stripers, what we'll do, and this sounds kind of funny, but the God's honest truth, is we'll catch our fish, our big striper, and depending on if we want to keep it or not, we're at the concrete ships. It's a 300-yard paddle back to the boat ramp in our truck. We'll paddle back to the truck, throw it in the cooler in the truck, which is another option for everyone. Then get back, either go home or get back, walk, catch some more in a catch and release style. Those are always options. But I'm thinking like king mackerel. There we go. I think we can keep three kings. And we're talking, average maybe 25, 30 pounds, let's say. That's a 30-inch, 40-inch fish. Let's stuff a couple of them in a bag. Spanish mackerel. There you go. That's another good one. The sky's the limit with that. But yet something that we're going to break down is, fish and, how to keep them truly in a good state. But now I'm thinking about it, let's not just do fish. Let's do, like, clams and mussels. Let's talk about them, too, because I love going clamming. Going after our local oysters that are down here in Virginia now. Crabs. Some people are crabbing it. And luckily enough, we have the Nothing Miller in the chat room. Folks, that is the West Coast host. And a Dungeness crab and bug, a.k.a. spiny lobster fisherman for us. And he does a lot out of the kayak. And hopefully he will contribute with any luck. But and we also have Mr. LGB, our friend down south. Hello, guys. Sorry for being out of breath. I had to run upstairs. Loved the, my new wireless headset. Whew. I'm out of shape. So we talked about the bag, you know, briefly. But we were talking about the bag. We talked about the cooler and the stringer. And, you know, being able to run back and forth from your vehicle if you have to with bigger fish. So do you do any clamming or going after mussels or crabs up there in New England area?
Not really. Most of them require separate licenses and stuff.
Right.
You know, clams. There's plenty of clamming around and stuff, but that's mostly digging up on the beach and that stuff. So never really got into it. Did it a little bit as a kid, but, you know, haven't really pursued it, you know, recently.
Right. Yeah, that, you know, out here, you know, it's the Chesapeake Bay, folks. And if you don't know, then you should know that, you know, crab, blue crab is king out here. And we've got some of the biggest blue claws you've ever seen in the waters now, thanks to them. I think Virginia and Maryland, but I know Virginia did, ban wintertime dredging in the bay for the females and the males out of the muck and mud. You know, it was ever since they did that, the blue crab population has exploded. And with that, bigger crabs. Some old-timers are going, we haven't seen crabs this big since we were kids, and we're talking 70, 80-year-old men here. So that's a great sign. But, you know, let's talk about keeping... For I know a lot of East Coast people, crab is king. How to keep them alive. And you're lucky, folks. I have firsthand experience with keeping them alive. I worked as a crabber for a little while for a buddy of mine. Here's the number one tip for y'all, okay? Or it's, you know, things to keep your crabs alive. Things to keep in mind. Crabs do not like heat. Crabs do not like fresh water, a.k.a. tap water, okay? And crabs, when cold, don't pinch you as often, which is, you know, if you like to stay comfortable, that's a big thing to know. And crabs don't need water. Most people think they need to fill up a cooler full of water. No, no. Crabs will stay alive long enough with just some wet newspaper. As long as they keep their gills moist, they're fine, okay? So we know that crabs, like, they don't like heat. They like cold. It keeps your fingers attached. And they don't like chlorinated tap water. So the ice you buy at the store is out, okay? You do not want that getting crabs. That will cook your crab. The crab will die, and the crab will cook due to the ammonia and chlorine. You know, chlorine is ammonia, in a sense. Do not use that stuff. Take time, find a local seafood packer or, you know, charter captain will get it sometimes, but actual saltwater ice. The same thing you see on, like, Swords, things like that, TV shows where they're packing the fish in ice. That's not, you know, raw water. That's not tap water, folks. That's raw water. That's fresh salt water right there, you know, turned up nice and solid. Usually you get it as a slush. But if I'm going after crab or a species that I don't want sitting in, you know, chlorinated ice water, I will go ahead and do that. By as much as I can, stuff it in my cooler, throw my drinks in there, close the lid. When you open the lid 20 minutes later, you'll have, you know, a half inch of ice gone. That will cool down your cooler very, very quick. So, and by doing that, it's going to melt some ice. So this way, you can throw whatever you want. You can throw any fish in there, and it could be a soupy mess. Don't worry. You know, your fish will actually stay alive much, much longer than you would any other way, and keep them fresher because you're not using the chlorine, which is a major no-no, in my opinion. So you got your cooler full of ice. Definitely have some wet, or have, just take a newspaper, Sunday newspaper, steal it from your neighbor. It's all, you know, who likes your neighbor anyway. Take that newspaper and keep it in your kayak, folks. If you catch a lot of crabs, you're going to want to keep their gills moist. I don't like my crab swimming in the water per se. So what I'll do is keep a drain plug open on the cooler. Remember, folks, we're going to use a cooler here. And put the newspaper, after being dunked in the, you know, salt water right next to the kayak, take those newspapers, kind of wring them out, and lay them on top of the ice. That's going to keep everything cold. So as you're catching your crabs, and there's a legal limit, which in Virginia, folks, is 5 inches from point to point, excuse me, on their shell. Check that. Everything's good. Go ahead and, you know, put them in the cooler. Close the lid. Hopefully you don't, you know, you've got all your digits left, and go get some more. I mean, that's how simple it is. You don't have to worry about, you know, the water drain out because you have that drain plug popped. And actually what I do is I'll take some of that newspaper and stuff it in the drain plug. It'll naturally just kind of leak out, but won't add hot air into your ice to melt it faster. Thank you. Remember, folks, the Nothing Miller is in the chat room. So, and he is actually a fishmonger, I believe, out of Oregon. Let's see here. He mentions that the saltwater ice or salty ice is even colder than regular ice, too. Good to have on hand. Yes. Yes, yes. Thank you. Because there is salt in there, it does take longer for the ice to, or colder, it needs to be colder for the ice to, for the water to become ice. Ah, there we go, finally. Whew. Definitely a good thing to know. So that means your fish will get colder quicker, which is important for things like bluefish, your tunas, and the Mr. Miller thinks that that would be the Nothing. Thinks that his Dungeness are better than Blue Claws. Well, they don't. I don't see any, you know, Oregon crab cakes now, do we? No. So, so we've got that. The crab, or folks, you can just take a burlap sack. You know, tie some rope around the top. And as you catch your crabs, you stuff them in the burlap sack. I've seen guys do that too. As long as there's no holes in the sack, it'll let the water through. Those crabs will just pile on the bottom. You never have to worry about it. So Greg, what would you consider your biggest problem fish for keeping fresh from catch to getting home?
Biggest problem fish. Probably the first fish I catch. If I'm planning on keeping fish, you know, you catch that first keeper and you have to decide whether or not you're going to put that one away, chance, you know, how many more of them you're going to get. And,
right.
You know, so, and especially, a lot of times I'll go out for, you know, 5 to 8 hours, you know, a trip. So, remember one night went out and literally 10 minutes from the ramp hooked into the perfect size, striper to keep. Nice 30 incher. And, you know, going, well, I'm 10 minutes in. Should I let them go or should I keep them? And
right.
then went the rest of the night after releasing them without catching another keeper.
Oh, man. That's brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, a whole bunch of 27 inchers, and they got to be 28. And yeah.
Rough. You think the fish gods would be kind, you know?
Yep. You know, you figure, you know, 10 minutes into a trip and you're already on fish, things are looking good, but not always. But up here, you know, fish that we're keeping, you know, for the most part, it's stripers, some tog, and winter flounder, and the fluke in the summer.
Right.
And, you know, none of them are too difficult to keep. I also, I'm one of the few out there that really like bluefish as well.
I love bluefish.
You know, it's, you know, a lot of people it's too fishy for, but I'm a fishy type of guy. So, you know,
oh, yeah.
with those, you know, the big thing with keeping those is to bleed them out right after you catch them. While they're
so,
still alive.
Well, explain to me how you bleed out your fish. And to the listeners.
Well, normally what I do is I take most of the time just the little dive knife that I keep on my vest. It's just a little 3 or 4 inch fixed blade knife. And I just, you know, right between the, on the underside, right under the gills. That's
right.
Normally the main vein that runs there. And I just, you know, slit that and then let them bleed out, put them on a stringer, let them bleed out for a few minutes, and then pop them in the cooler.
Okay. Okay. Kind of like tuna. Almost.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And, you know, that's how I did it for many, many years until an old man showed me a different technique that works great. And it's – you can use this for Spanish mackerel. You can use this for – you know what? Let me rephrase that. Any round fish, and what I consider a round fish, is everything but a flat fish, fluke, flounder, things like that. And this was taught to me out in San Diego – on the head boats out there after tunas, things like that. And folks, if you don't know about the head boats out there, please support them, save some money, and take a multi-day trip. You know, to fit on one of these boats, they really need your help. Please help them out. Much history with them. That just came to mind. Definitely want to do that. It'll be the best time of your life. Best fishing out there right now so far in many, many years. But anyway, what you're looking at doing is you catch your fish, right? Let's take a step back. You haven't caught your fish. You haven't left the house yet. What you want to do is take some of the smaller water bottles. Depending on your fish. We're talking bluefish here. I usually don't keep a bluefish over 22 inches. Then that's just me.
Yep. That's normally a real good eating size, somewhere between 16 and 22.
Right. You're going to get two really nice fillets, but it's not going to be too old or too gamey to really overpower you. But you're going to take one of the smaller water bottles, the thin ones. You know, the little, like, 8-ounce ones, I think they are, or 8 or 12-ounce little bottles. Fill them up with water and throw them in the freezer, okay? You want them things frozen solid. When you're ready to go fishing, take them, stuff them at the very bottom of your cooler. That's going to be the coldest. You know, use the salt water, the salty ice. It's going to help you out a lot, okay? Once the salty ice gets in there, it'll keep everything nice and cold and fresh. You catch your bluefish, okay? when you get the bluefish in and you decide you're going to keep them, bust out that Wayne Medallion Cool Guy knife, okay? And you're going to cut the vein, let them bleed. After they've bled out for a couple of seconds, they're going to stop twitching as much as they usually are. Folks, if you don't know about bluefish, they freak out. They splash around, jump around, and that mouth is going the whole time. So
yeah,
please be careful. Yes. Take them. Okay, he's been bleeding out for a little bit. Go ahead and gut him right there. Gut him and gill him. That's going to help bleed him out the rest of the way. Take that bottle after you've removed all the guts. Shove it in the body cavity. Okay, from the gills, from the gills all the way down, is now going to be have an ice pack in there. That's going to cool them down even faster. All right, you want to expedite this and hold that water bottle in there. Have a bunch of cheap old, or just take an old beach towel and cut it into 2 foot by 12 inch sections. Okay, that way you can take that. Dip it in the salty water or salty ice water mixture that's probably there by now. Wrap them up in that and put them back in the ice. Remember, folks, the salty ice is what's going to keep your fish from cooking, quote unquote. And it's a good thing. This way, your fish is A, bled out completely. Okay? Just a little blood in the salty ice is always a good thing. And B, when they're bled out and they're ice cold quicker, that for bluefish especially, is usually a very mushy, I call it a very mushy fish. This way, you don't get the mushiness. It actually firm up the meat really well and will make it a lot easier for when you get back to the boat ramp or home to fillet and prepare for dinner. Side note on bluefish, folks. Do not freeze your bluefish ever, ever, ever. It will ruin the meat. They get very, very oily. Great source of omega-3 fatty acids. If you have heart problems or enjoy taking your fish pills, screw the fish pills. I mean, you're spending $30 on a pill of mercury and supporting bunker raping. But that's a whole other subject anyway. Eat bluefish. You will not go wrong. It has actually bluefish has more omega-3 than bluefish, if you can handle it. And that comes into the recipe. We're going to start with B because that's the beginning of the alphabet, and bluefish is it. One of my favorite recipes, folks, is what my I've made for years, and that is fish breakfast, or Surfcaster's breakfast is called. I grew up on Long Island, folks. Fishing Montauk, fishing, the big surf casting capitals of Long Island. And you fish all night long. Okay. That's what you do. You got a good night, you got a good tide at night. Guess what? You're sitting on the beach fishing. You get home, you're going to want something to eat. Well, you got a couple of bluefish you caught. Here's how you prepare them, folks. You're going to clean your fish, fillet them, remove the skin, remove that little red line inside of them. Folks, if you fillet a bluefish, you're going to see a nice little bloodline. It is key to get rid of that bloodline to help with the fishy taste. If you're like me, I enjoy the fishy taste, so I leave it in there. And that's all personal preference. But what you're going to do is, on the way home from fishing, stop off at a little bakery. If you got a good bakery around you, they usually open at like 3:30 in the morning to begin with, delivering to all the restaurants and bagel stores, things like that. Go ahead and pick up a good pumpernickel, good rye bread, or even like a good crusty Italian bread, or French bread. Get home, get yourself a can of stewed tomatoes or diced tomatoes, just a can of tomatoes with some chunkiness to them, okay? And what you're going to do, set up your pan, cut up some peppers, cut up some onions, throw them in there, kind of get them started. Take that can of, or get them those peppers and onions started. I'm getting ahead of myself. My mouth is watering now. Okay. Take your bluefish fillets and drop them right on top of the pieces, okay? Now, you're going to let them cook for a little while until you have to flip the bluefish over once, okay? As soon as you flip the bluefish over, add your can of tomatoes, okay? Put a lid on top and just let it sit there for 5 minutes, all right? Now, in a separate pan, I'm creating some scrambled eggs, usually. Or if I'm feeling really sloppy that morning, you know, it's you know, over easy runny eggs, or sunny side up eggs, but anyway, you're gonna take your toasted, you know, of course you're gonna toast your bread. It's breakfast. Toast your bread, folks. Toasted rye, pumpernickel, French bread, whatever. Set that on the plate. Take a big scoopful of your bluefish and veggie mixture, drop it on top of that, of your bread. Take your runny egg, drop it on top of that. Keep an extra piece of bread on hand for after you're done eating and the plate is clean. You're going to want that other piece of bread to be able to sop up all them juices. Folks, that is one of the best breakfasts you will ever have after a long night of fishing. I guarantee it. So, now, Greg, how do you like your bluefish, man?
There's a couple different ways that I enjoy it. After spending, you know, a lot of time growing up on headboats and stuff on the East Coast and coming home with dozens of them. Pretty much, if I tried it enough ways, I could be the Bubba Gump of bluefish, I think. My favorite ways, I really like the fried bluefish.
Really?
Like fish tips. Yeah, it's. I actually didn't try this until maybe about 5 years ago. I was in a restaurant, and it was a little microbrew up in Glens Falls, New York, and they have a bluefish fish and chips. And they got a real strong beer batter. And, you know, to counteract the strong flavor of the beer batter, you need a strong fish. And, you know, since then, love doing it that way when I want to fry them. The other way I really like it is I make a fish stew with it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, once again, it's a stronger fish. The stew sort of mellows it a little bit, but it still tastes like fish. I know
right.
A lot of people, you know, cook like a fish stew and stuff to sort of hide the fish flavor. But I like it because it still has some of that fish flavor. And, you know, just, not quite sure I've made it the same way twice, but... you know, a real nice tomato-based fish stew is with bluefish is good. And then
yeah.
The third way is smoked. You put that
thing
on the grill and smoke them, and you know they're just awesome. So
you know, for our you know our Jewish friends out there, you know, I love your lox and bagels, but y'all have nothing on good egg or an everything bagel. Oh, now I'm getting really excited. An everything bagel with some cream cheese, some good cream cheese, and then pieces of bluefish, smoked bluefish, put on top of that. Oh, man, that's so good. You're going to want to slap your pappy. I'm telling you what. Oh, man. Folks, you got to try that. If you catch bluefish, smoke them. A good hardwood smoke. Don't use cherry wood or anything else. You're going to want a good hardwood smoke. And smoke them almost to death, and you will not go wrong. Oh my! Oh man! Now I'm all happy. So we did. thanks, Greg. Now I'm hungry. So we talked about bluefish. Do you know of any A's?
A's.
We skipped right to B.
Anchovies.
Anchovies?
Yeah.
Folks, if you need anchovies, I love my anchovy or sardine here and there. Can't go wrong with them on a pizza.
Yep.
You know? So, you know, I don't know of any other way of cooking anchovies personally, folks, and I hate to tell you, that's just me. another great one, if we're going to talk about smoking fish, for all y'all up north and those that can get to them, Boston mackerel. Smoked Boston mackerel is great. You can't, you know, that's another one of those ones, but, you know, it's an acquired taste almost for Boston mackerel. Smoked, everyone would swear it's, you know, bluefish or one of the other more gamey, I guess you could say, fish. So that's the bees. I know some people are going blackfish. Well, that hog, that's in T's. We'll get to that in a little bit. So let's see here. What else is there? We got bees, C, I guess croaker. Folks, croaker is one of those fish. It's like a tilapia. Cook it any way you want. A lot of people whole, which is a great way of doing it, gutting them and deheading them and cooking them whole over the grill is great. There's a thousand ways to cook them. You know, find any fish recipe and use it for that. I don't think you can smoke a croaker because of the, you know, Surgeon General warning on smoking. But that was a joke, folks. You're supposed to laugh. you know, it's a really white, flaky meat, I guess, a little firm. But yeah, you could definitely eat croaker any way you want. Let's see, cobia. If you can get a chance to get on some cobia, folks, definitely do it. If you see it in a restaurant, definitely try it. It is a wonderful meat. Down south, they call them lemon fish. And the reason why the meat has actually a slight lemony flavor. And you can hear my dog in the background talking. Oh, man. And cobia is one of those things where you can do it a million ways, but really enjoy a good cobia is on the grill with a little bit of lemon juice and garlic. You just cannot run with that. Have you eaten cobia, Greg?
No, that's one I've never had the chance to. So, never did a whole lot of fishing down south, so actually never caught one either. So, that one's on my bucket list.
Yeah, that's one of the tastier out there, in my opinion. You cannot go wrong. Yeah, I mean, you love cobia. Cobia is great too. To hear what else is there. We did C's. Any other C's you can think of?
Oh, well, if you want to move inland, there's always the fish with the whiskers on it.
Catfish. Folks, you can do catfish nuggets. Catfish, I mean, look at Aladdin. That's all I have to say. Do, you know, cook catfish any way you like. And that's another one of those real versatile fish, just like croaker, just like many of the fish we talk about. A lot of people going, what about freshwater bass? What about them largemouth and smallmouth bass? Folks, I couldn't tell you. I have never kept a largemouth bass or smallmouth bass. I like to catch them. I don't like to eat them. If you do and you have a recipe, please feel free to call in next week or send me an email on Facebook or to my email address. And surprisingly, folks, my email address is just like my nickname, landingcrew@yahoo.com. Feel free to send me an email. I'm always like to read them. But Well, let's see here. Wolf. D's. Drum. Puppy drum. Black drum. That's another one of those really nice fleshes. Meats, I should say, for people going, ah, flesh, yeah. No. But it's a really nice meat. It's really firm. Has a little bit of a fishy flavor to it, but not too much to overpower, you know, the finicky fish eater. There's a great recipe on IrishWaterDogs.com for Redfish Casino. It's absolutely amazing. So definitely check out the Irish Water Dog site and that recipe. It's definitely a good one. Highly recommended. Highly recommended. But redfish is one of those perfect ones if you know, looking to keep it easy for coming home after fishing, filleting them up, you know, getting a pan going with some butter, dropping them in there with some lemon pepper seasoning. And eating over a bed of rice. I mean, just absolutely perfect for that. You know, you cannot go wrong in that sense. Black drum is one of those finicky ones. If you keep a small black drum, is highly recommended. Your larger black drum has worms. So, folks, if you're going to keep a black drum, keep the smaller ones, please. Let the big ones go. Unless you're going to try to get a, you know, weigh-in citation try for a record, please release them. But black drum's the same way. It actually has a clam flavor. These are fish that eat clams, eat mussels, eat oysters. They also eat crab and your bait fish. So please, you know, you try black drum, the smaller ones. You will not be disappointed. If you like clam, you're selfish. They are very, very tasty. What else? But yeah, you know, the drum is one of those ones where, you know, if you the black drum, if you cook them in like a white wine sauce, just like you would a clam, is absolutely, oh man, that's another one of those where you want to slap your mama afterwards. So we got drum. Any other D's?
Oh, nothing that I can think of offhand.
Okay. What other fish do we catch? E's. Can't think of an E.
Oh, I've had eel.
Oh yeah.
Sushi bar, but couldn't tell you how to prepare it though.
I actually had an experience when I was a child with eels, and that's the American eel, folks, not the big morays you see in the aquarium or on Discovery Channel. The American eel is that used for stripers.
Yep.
If you get a big one, and folks, these things can grow up to like 2 feet, keep them. You'd be very surprised. And what you're going to do is cut off the head. Pliers, or don't cut, hang on, let me rephrase that, don't cut off the head. What you're going to do, and for all those with weak dispositions, you're going to want to walk away right now, and I'm going to give you a count of three, two, one. What you're going to do, folks, with eels, is take a board and take a good decking, okay, put the nail through the top of the eel's head, okay. Then take a knife around the body, just cutting the skin until you cut through the skin. Then you're going to take two pairs of pliers, peel back the skin enough that you can grab a hold of the skin with the pliers, and pull. Think of taking off a set of stockings. Same kind of idea. Pull off the skin, remove the head, gut them. And you got two big chunks of meat. So be very careful when you're eating them. But smoke them. It's a great smoked meat. Grill them with a good seasoning. Cajun seasoning is actually really good on eel, surprisingly. But don't eat the smaller ones. There's not a lot of meat, and it's a lot more work for the smaller ones than it's worth sometimes. But, yeah, definitely eat your eel. Good. So we got eel. Now let's hit the big one, folks. The one that everyone wants, it seems. Fluke or the flounder? Folks, if you haven't eaten flounder, fluke, then just hang up the phone or stop the podcast and walk away because you are missing out. Now, folks, if you have been trying to catch a fluke or flounder of legal size, if you live up north or in Virginia, it's much more difficult for us with the size limit than they are. But you do catch one, then you are in for a treat. It's one of the best fish out there, in my opinion. Flavor wise, texture wise, thinness of the meat, it's absolutely perfect. In my eyes, a lot of people will say differently, and I just don't see it. All right. Hang on one second. Keep on going. We have area code 7. Area code 727, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Rob.
Hey, Rob. What's going on, man?
Nothing. Just checking in. How you doing?
Doing good. Not the same problems we had last week, but definitely rocking, finally.
Oh, dude, last night I had a heck of a time. Left my phone at work, and since I got a new computer, I didn't test out the Skype until about 7 o'clock. And Chip is, like, trying to get me sorted out and everything. Turns out my computer did not recognize my my microphone, so I had to run across the street to Radio Shack real quick, come back and get that sorted out, and much thanks to Chip for his heroic and patient efforts to get me up and running right before 8 o'clock. So that was my night last night. So I was scatterbrained and was really not having a good night.
Next week is always a better week, right?
Yeah. So, anyway, I just wanted to check in and say, hey, what are you talking about?
Fish recipes mostly. How to, catch
about
a
what?
After you catch your recipes. After you catch a fish, how to handle it, prepare it, things like that, and different ideas for folks.
But, I don't catch fish, so I don't know anything about that.
Well, get up here to Virginia, man. I'll put you on some big fish.
Okay.
All right. And here soon I'll have two new kayaks to play around in, so. That's always a good thing, right?
Absolutely.
Yep.
And don't forget, the sushi man is in town. He's in Clearwater, and he is hooking up with me and Inshore Keith, and we're heading out to Cockroach Bay this weekend.
Cool.
So the sushi man and Sam and who knows who else. We're going to go out there over to Cockroach Bay. And word is, my resident buddy over there in Apollo Beach is got a good line on some snook over there. So hopefully we'll be able to hook up and get the sushi man and Sam on some 40-inch plus snook. Right there in Cockroach Bay. So we'll see what happens.
Definitely, man. Well, good luck to you, man.
Yeah.
All right. So we're on F, and that's F for fluke, flounder. Freaking tasty is more like it. But, real nice meat. And folks, most people go, I don't know how to fillet them. They're so difficult. Look at the fish, folks. It's got a a print right on them. You're going, what? Feel around. You're going to feel where there's, you know, the bones. You're going to feel where the guts are. That's where you want your edge to go, near the head, okay? And then you're going to look at the fish, and right run down from the head down to the tail, you see a nice line. That's that lateral line that every fish has, okay? Take your knife and split that right down the middle. Don't look at the bone yet, okay? And then, like flaying any other fish, start off right from the middle, work your way out nice and slow until you get one fillet off. And, folks, one flounder or fluke will give you four fillets if you fillet them like this, okay? Do the same thing when you flip them over, and you will not go wrong. Flounder tacos is a great thing. You know, fried flounder, baked flounder, flounder on a stick. you really can't go wrong with flounder, in my opinion. Greg, do you have any recipes for flounder or any other things you do for flounder?
My favorite is stuffing them with some of those crabs that you just caught as well.
Oh, yeah. Stuff flounder with... Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I do my stuffed flounder with crab meat, scallops, little bay scallops, and shrimp, smaller shrimp, and make a really shellfishy setup. And if I'm doing more than for myself, usually, folks, if you stuff a flounder, you put the meat in the middle and take the two ends of the fillet, roll them up, stick a skewer through them or a toothpick, and then bake them. I actually get very technical with it and remove the head. And then I've done this about 30 to 40 times, taking my knife and actually removing the backbone and all the bones and leaving a pouch with the skin on and everything to hold my stuffing and bake them just like I would a turkey almost, you know. And after you pull it out of the oven, the skin just peels off and everyone just goes to town. But that is a very, that took me many, many, many tries to get that right. And now that I have gotten it right, it is definitely one of those where I catch a flounder and people know about it. They're calling, hey, you're going to be stuffing flounder? Can you come over? So it's definitely a great way to get it. But yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with that stuff, folks. All right, fluke, flounder, F. Any other Fs?
No, I can't think of any.
All right, then let's move to G. If there's any Gs.
Grouper.
Oh, yeah. If you can catch grouper out of a kayak, folks, in the Mid-Atlantic Northeast, you're amazing. grouper are deep water fish. I guess the guys down south and just like Florida can paddle out and get to them. I know I can't. But the grouper's, another one of those fish. So, to make a little bit of time limit here, folks, let's talk about, and let's make this simple, fish that are multi-purpose, i.e., there is no wrong way of preparing them without any some sort of specialty. We'll start off croaker, flounder, tog, sheep's head, triggerfish, in my eyes, spot, or another one, cobia, striper. You can make awesome striper cakes, folks, with a sleeve of Ritz cracker and an Old Bay seasoning, a little bit of mayo, and an egg. That's all you need. Or screw the mayo, just use the egg. You'd be surprised how good that is. And you can find the striper cake recipe on yakangler.com. So let's see here. We got Striper. Can you think of any others? The multi-purpose. You could use basically cook them any way you want. Greg.
Sheep's head.
Sheepies. Yeah.
Yeah. Sheeps. Now, we've sort of limited this to the East Coast. There's a whole bunch of them on the West Coast as well.
Well, Isaac the Nothing Miller can do his own West Coast fishing recipe show. Love you, Chris. Love you, Isaac. Folks, you can catch the West Coast show with Isaac the Nothing Miller. Hang on, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this right. So I'm going to plug someone. I'm going to do it with some sound bites.
Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio West, your show for all things kayak fishing in Oregon, Washington, California, and beyond. Now, here's your host, Isaac the Nothing Miller.
Yes, folks. You can catch Isaac's the Nothing Miller show on Tuesday night. Sorry, folks. Fly just flew in my mouth. Oh, that's awful. But you can catch Isaac the Nothing Miller show Tuesday night at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio and KayakFishingRadio.com. Definitely. Those are what I can think of. Specialty fish, your bluefish is a specialty fish. What else? Blowfish. Why don't I talk about blowfish? Folks, blowfish is one of those ones, if you can catch the puffer or blowfish, and you only want to eat the northern ones, it's called the northern puffer. If you have kids, this is a great way to get them into fishing. I've never seen this many puffers since I was a kid, personally, folks. That's 20 years plus. And you definitely want to get on them. And you can catch them with a little, double hook rig with a little piece of squid or shrimp. And you can catch all you want. A puffer with a little bit of lemon pepper seasoning grilled up. Absolutely awesome. Also, if you can cut out that little bone in the middle of their body, take it off, take a sliver of jalapeno, roasted jalapeno, you stick that in there, take a wrap of bacon, some bacon around it, and grill that. Oh, the best little fishy jalapeno poppers you've ever had. So that's blowfish. Especially, Isaac just said lionfish. I actually had the opportunity of enjoying lionfish 2 weeks ago. I had a buddy of mine catch one, didn't know what to do with it. He knew they were poisonous. And I treat them just like your West Coast sculpin, almost. Really nice, white, flaky meat. Made a great fish taco. So if you catch lionfish, remember, folks, they are an invasive species. Keep them. Be very careful. Their spines are poisonous. So great care is needed. But once you get them in, you cut off all the spines and you fillet them normally with a pair of really good gloves, big-duty gloves, to keep any of the spines you might have missed. Please, folks, do not release the invasive species. Eat them, and you'll be pleasantly surprised. Very pleasantly surprised. So we did, lionfish. Difficult ones. King mackerel. King mackerel is one of those funny ones. One of those fish that doesn't handle freezing very well. So definitely we want to eat it within a couple of days of catching it after proper, storage. And it's actually really good in a Italian dressing marinade or Jamaican jerk marinade and grilled. It's actually very, very good. Definitely try that. Don't try to fry it. It's not a very good frying kind of meat. It'll break apart really easily. But yeah, definitely grill your king mackerel or broil it or bake it. It's actually really, really good. Shark. Folks, shark is one of those wonderful meats, wonderful fish of the sea. Mako's, sky's the limit on Mako. Thresher's the same way. Spiny dogfish. Folks, if you catch a spiny dogfish, keep the damn thing. You'd be surprised how good they are. And if you listen to the Garbage Fish show of 2 weeks ago, they will explain how to prepare them and how to clean them up and how to treat them with the respect that every shark deserves. And I mean that wholeheartedly. Even those dang dogfish and skates and rays, folks. Keep enjoy your skate and ray. You will be pleasantly surprised how good they are. And to check out garbagefish.com. They have a great link on how to prepare all these, the garbage fish species from your blowfish to your sea robin is another great fish. I had the joy of growing up eating them. To your sharks. Cannot go wrong. But yeah, shark is another one of the tasty meats that I really enjoy. What else? Shark, striper. You can't go wrong with striper. Any way you think, you can eat them. Bacon wrapped with a little piece of jalapeno and stuffed inside of them is absolutely amazing. Grill, even better. Oyster toads. Folks in Virginia know of oyster toads very, very well. Eat them. They're good. Trust me. They taste like what they eat, and they eat a lot of shellfish, a lot of little bait fish. So they've got a nice little shellfish flavor and really nice meat. Really good in a taco or soup. What else? Any other fish I can think of? Greg, you have any other fish you can think of, man?
I'm trying to think of something you haven't covered. Covered all the big ones. Specks.
What's that?
Specks, speckled trout.
Specks. Oh, yeah. Your speckies and your weakies. Folks, please release your weak fish. Your gray trout. The stocks are very, very low up and down the East Coast, so please release your weak fish, your great trout. We got to help. We got to take the initiative now before we don't have any weakies left. So please release your weak fish. But keep all the speckled trout you want within your locality limits. There are a lot of speckled trout around. They're very prolific, and they freeze rather well, surprisingly, I found out. So really enjoy your Spaniards, or your speckled trout, excuse me. But, speckled trout is a great fish broiled or done in a pan. How do you cook your speckles?
The only way I've had them is pan fried.
Pan fried, yeah.
So.
That's what we didn't talk about. If you get a chance to go out for tuna, and you get them home, folks. Treat tuna like you do a good piece of red meat. If you like your steak well done, shame on you. Okay, if you cook your steak and it's not moving back at you, shame on you. All right. Definitely cook your tuna like you do a steak. you know, cook it around the edges, but leave the center nice and pink. You'd be pleasantly surprised. Frank's makes an excellent sweet chili dipping slash marinade slash everything sauce. I put it on my Wheaties in the morning. It is really good. Really, really good. If you take folks and, you know, stick that next to, a, you know, a big plate of nicely, you know, sliced tuna that's been, you know, cooked to, you know, real nice, rare, medium rare, you will really enjoy the meat. It'll be a very, very good meal for you. You know, but tuna is a beautiful fish. If you get a chance to catch one, but keep one or two. That's all you'll ever need for, you know, until you get out next time. The tuna is another one of those species along the East Coast, folks. We got to take care of, just like every other fish species, folks. Please don't abuse the wonderful gift that we have. For instance, take a look at, you know, England and European countries. Their waters are so overfished, folks. They're lucky if they catch a bait fish sometimes. So please, please, please do not abuse what Mother Ocean has given us. You know, I kind of have my Ted Nugent moment right there, but please, folks, let's keep it available for our kids and our grandkids and our grandkids' kids. Smart choices now, a lot later. Plus, you know, you want to be able to hear your kid, you know, after catching a big fish, you know, talking the smack. You know, so I know that's when I was a kid when I caught a fish bigger than my dad, and so I talked a lot of smack. So, and then that's a great moment. Rob, do you have any recipes that you can think of, or fish that you want to add?
Not anything down here, really. You know, I don't really keep too many fish. Most of the time, I catch, you know, I'm catch and release only, you know. But, you know, a nice redfish once in a while is good. Snook is really good on the grill, if you've ever had it. But I try to, I haven't kept a snook in I don't know how long, God. Let me see, what else? In the S's, if you're still in the S's, we used to, you'll laugh at this. When I lived in upstate New York, we used to go smelting. I don't know if you know what smelting is or what smelt are, but you might consider them a bait fish or some sort of thing. But there was a power plant up at one of the Finger Lakes. I think it was Cayuga Lake up in upstate New York. And we used to dip net these things, right? And they're probably 6, 7, 8 inches long, maybe at the most. And they look like little threadfin shads, kind of, right? And you'd catch, you know, you'd get like a 5-gallon bucket of those bad boys and take them home and, you know, they were relatively easy to clean. You didn't really, you know, you just had to gut them pretty much and take the scales off. I don't remember exactly how we did it because I was pretty young. But, man, you'd throw some, anyway, you'd get those all cleaned up. I think you cut the head, yeah, you cut the heads off too. And you'd put them in some cornmeal and some egg whites and stuff and kind of fry them up like that, man. Ooh, those are good, man. You can eat those all day. Smelt fingers, man. Fried up with some cornmeal.
Oh, yeah.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. That's good stuff right there, buddy.
Oh, yeah. I've heard people doing that with silver sides and mullet. Eating them up. Yeah.
Now, there's another thing, too. Another way to do it, I don't know if you touched on it or not, because I came in kind of late. But you can use Ritz crackers, man, to encrust stuff with. I know, I'm sure that you know that because, you know, you're the recipe man, so you come up with some pretty good recipes. But, yeah, Ritz crackers, or the townhouse crackers, all crushed up and rolled up. Man, ooh, those are really good.
I actually use cornflakes when I fry.
Okay.
Even my chicken.
Okay.
It'll give it a nice crispy crunch, outer crust. It's really good. What else? I'm trying to think of other fish up here. I think we covered them all. Folks, if you ever had bunker or marine, the best way to cook them is in a paper bag in the microwave. Sit to 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, throw the fish away and eat the paper bag. Bunker is not edible, folks. Please do not eat the bunker. It'll make you sick. Please do not eat bunker. please. Not saying, you know, I'm an expert or anything on it, but from what I've seen from other people that I've tried, please do not eat the bunker. Please do not eat the bunker. I don't want someone going, he said he could eat bunker and put it in the microwave for 10 minutes. It made me sicker than a dog. I want to fire. Please don't do that.
Eat some bunker.
You want to have a look at me, Niggas? Sorry. That was on the radio show this morning on my way to work.
Did you see the, did you hear the funky jam on there that I threw on there? I put together on my, on GarageBand the other night, and I threw it out there last night. That's on the, sound bites there. Oh, no. If you're wondering what it was, that's what it is.
All right now is the Ron Jeremy mustache.
Oh, you know well, you got Chip. That can be like Chip's new intro music there.
With his big handlebars. Oh man. Oh. Chip, if you're listening, and I know you are. Oh man, he's gonna email me. You're fired. I can't believe you just did.
Sorry, Chip.
Yeah, but it's a good laugh, man. Sorry. But yeah, I actually kind of like this. This should be playing behind, you know. Anyway,
playing behind what?
And you wonder why now there's an explicit thing next to my radio show. Thanks there, Robbie.
Yeah.
Folks, you can catch Rob's show, Bad Badcast Live, Tuesday night at 8 Eastern on Kayak Fishing Radio. Folks, definitely tune into his show. It's definitely a good time for all. When you just listen to the music, it's always a good time. Everyone loves the Bad Badcast Live.
Okay, I'll send you your check now, Mark.
Yeah, I know, right? all right. I think we covered it. We've gone through about an hour 15. And I'm actually going to redo that for my... Rob's going to hate me for this. For my shameless plugs, we're going to start with Mr. Greg Crisp. Do you have anything to plug? Plug it now.
Check out my blog at yakfish.net. And, always check out Yak Angler. Great community. And, we love to help out people just getting started. And we love to pick up tips from guys and gals that have been doing it a while.
Yep, everyone has good info.
Yep.
Every bit of info is good info. Doesn't matter how trivial. So definitely check out Greg's website. And again, what's your website again?
It is yakfish.net.
Okay.
Hey, and, you forgot. Greg's also a pro staffer at yakangler.com.
That is true.
And, yeah. And a solid dude, man. He's kicking my buttocks on Kayak Wars there. Well, that's not too hard, though.
Yeah. Right. But, yeah, definitely check out Greg's website. And then we have Mr. Rob Bad Backass. And, folks, I'm going to cut ahead of him and steal his glory. Definitely check out Rob's wonderful blog, abadbackass.com. It's definitely a great piece of literature there. Really well written blog. And definitely check him out with his radio show,
thank
folks.
You.
It's
and
you're welcome. It's all, and you do a very good job, man. And remember, folks, his radio show, A Bad Backcast Live, is on at Tuesday night on this same station, kayakfishingradio.com. Rob, you have anything else you want to plug?
No, sir. I'm good for now.
All right.
All the plugging is over with.
Oh, I've still got my plugs.
oh, I know you do.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you again, Greg, Rob, Isaac. Absolute pleasure. Of course, check out the whole list of kayakfishingradio.com shows on kayakfishingradio.com. Coming up tomorrow, folks, the Thursday night show with Chip Tucker Forgiven is on at Thursday nights at 8 o'clock. At the same place, same time, every week, kayakfishingradio.com. And that's the original show, folks, so definitely tune in there for all the major announcements. So let's start it. Folks, go to yakangler.com, ultimate kayak fishing resource. Folks, like Greg said, you can't go wrong by going there if you need some info or just want to talk to some other kayak fishing women, ladies, or men. It's always a great time. IrishWaterDog.com, brave the waves where giants tremble. The Water Dogs, support them. They have some great apparel and a great website. And definitely check out the Irish Water Dogs Invitational, which is October 23rd, 25th, in Florida. Big prizes there. TKAA.org, that is Tidewater Kayak Angler Association. Definitely check them out. And their major tournament coming up here, the charity tournament coming up in September. I'm participating. And, you know, win some stuff.
I'm going to be making that one, too. So,
I'll see you then, Greg.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Definitely check out that tournament. Check out their website. All right. Got to play my music again. Come on. So we got TKA. Let's go to garbagefish.com. Is a great website for all your garbage fish needs. Definitely check them out. Great group out there. And it's well worth the time. So please check out garbagefish.com. Also, check out kayakbassfishing.com. Folks, if you need anything bass fishing or fishing related in non-based, definitely check out kayakbassfishing.com. Full of great info, videos, tutorials. And it's not just bass fishing, folks. It's saltwater fishing, too. Definitely check them out. Am I missing anyone else? Oh, yakdaddy.net. A home next better purchase by inputting promo code 0854. So, please save the money there and check out Yak Daddy, Pumple Slider. I know I just had another one. Oh, Hook One. Definitely check out Hook One. Save a lot of money there. Great website for getting anything kayak related, including the new Lowrance, scupper plugs, transducers, and everything else. On the local side, if you're in Virginia,
and you haven't been to Appomattox River Company or ARC, you're wrong. Get Appomattox River Company in the Yorktown or Farmville or Richmond showroom for time, a lot of knowledge to spend. Please check them out. And with that, I'll leave you to this is Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic with your host, Mark Delaney Crew Wheeler. Hoping everyone has a great night, a wonderful weekend, and good night. Kid fishing, and always wear your PFD. Good night, folks.